Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Turn your Bibles quickly to Psalms 133, I believe it is. From verse 1. Psalms 133 from verse 1. I'm afraid it's gonna fall. The book of Psalms, chapter 133 from verse 1. Are we there? Tell your neighbor, say, my wonderful, beautiful, handsome neighbor. In this church, you must have a Bible. All right. Our 50 rand Bibles are finished. The only Bible we have left is... what happened? Oh, so our Bibles are finished. All right, we'll organize to have more Bibles as soon as possible. Amen. So you will note some churches, they sell water. Some churches, they sell anointing oil. Some churches, they sell coffee. What else? Ingi? Huh? Lidia. All right, so we don't sell any of those things. Do you understand? What we emphasize and what is compulsory here is that you must have a Bible and you must read it. When I say powerful things, you must say a powerful amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. One time I was ministering to this lady. I was telling her about Jesus, trying to lead her to Christ. And she said to me, no, don't worry about me. I have a Bible. And she took out one of those blue small Bibles. Do you know them? The New Testament. And she says, I take it everywhere I go. And she said to me, even when I sleep, I put it under my bed. Listen, it won't do anything for you under your bed. It won't do anything for you in your bag. Do you understand? You need to... When Satan came to visit Jesus, Jesus didn't say, wait, let me go under my bed. I'm coming back. Wait here. He said, it is written. So the word was in his heart. When the word enters your heart, and you meditate on it, and it marinates you, then power will be released. Are you listening to me? Some of you don't believe what I'm saying. Carol, your side, they are very quiet. Are you listening to me, that side? You must have a Bible. You must. And if your Bible, if you've had a Bible, you must upgrade. If you've been using a 50 rand Bible for all these years, shame on you. Hello? Upgrade. Isn't it when you do your hairstyle, you don't do a 50 rand hairstyle, ladies, am I correct? I'm married, I know. I have a wife, I have a daughter. I don't pay 50 rand. Are you listening to me? So buy a 100 rand Bible, buy a 200 rand Bible. The more serious you become, buy a 500 rand Bible. Amen. There's more in a 500 Bible than there is in a 50 rand Bible. Amen. I can tell you. Amen. Buy a 1,000 rand Bible. Only Mambo is singing. You have stopped your amens when I said 1,000. In 2010, I bought a Bible for 1,000 rand. And recently, I was telling Mom Ruti that, I bought this Bible plus minus over 10 years ago, and only now I'm enjoying it. Some Bibles have things that other Bibles don't have. Are you listening to me? My 1,000 Rand Bible is called a Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. What this Bible has different to other Bibles is that, say for example, you read John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. Do you understand? On the side, it will give you all other scriptures that are related to that particular one. So already you are getting something extra. And then it's annotated. Annotated means that Dakes has his notes there. He will start sharing things that took him his whole lifetime to learn. And he will begin to show you certain things that will open your mind to scripture. Do you understand? The 50 rand one, even to see the words, you need glasses. And you are young, but already you need glasses to see what is written there. I'm encouraging you to do a very powerful thing. Are you listening to me? Some years ago, I was at home. I was in university. And while I was at home, I was sitting watching TV. Then I felt tired. Then I said, let me go to my room and take a nap. It was during the day. Now, before that particular day, something was happening that I noticed but did not notice. I don't know if you understand what I mean. I noticed it, but I didn't, take any action. Every time I close my eyes, I will see a green eye and a reddish eye. When I close my eye, I'll just see a green eye and a reddish eye looking at me. Do you understand? But I never took any notice of it, but I saw it. And that particular day, I felt a bit tired and I said, let me take a nap. When I fell asleep, all of a sudden, I saw a short person next to my bed. He looked like a human being, like he had a mouth, he had a nose, he had eyes, ears, but he didn't look like a human being. His eyes were green and reddish. When I saw him, I got some holy anger. And I looked up to the sky and I said, Father, I cannot believe that you allowed Satan to enter into my room. When I said that, I felt power coming from heaven and it entered me. Then I looked at that demon and I pointed at it and I said, in the name of Jesus, before I could finish, he was gone. Now, before I read the Bible, I wouldn't have even known to do things like that. My spirit would have not been trained to do things like that. Are you listening to me? God wants to give you the power for yourself. God wants to anoint you yourself. But the scriptures have to be your friend. Are you listening to me, somebody? I can tell you story after story after story of how God used me to deal with certain things just for spending time with him and his word. So I'm spending this time to encourage you. Please get a Bible. Are you listening to me? Now let's read Psalms 133 quickly from verse 1. The Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a very powerful scripture. If the Bible you have is your own, please underline it. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That word unity means in harmony. It means oneness, being one, in agreement. Are you listening to me? Verse 2 says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. I was praying during the week and this scripture came up. And I was so blessed. Two things that you have to notice there. When brethren here is talking about born again believers, children of God, are in harmony, are one. Hallelujah. The Bible says it's like the ointment upon the head that flows to the beard and that flows to the garments. In other words, the power of God doesn't flow where there's no unity, where there's no oneness, where there's no harmony. For us to experience the power of God in its fullness, we have to become one. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you please help me with the child? If you can kindly just take him outside, calm him down, then you can come back. Say, neighbor, Lisa tiba, bana, kibana. Bana. Hallelujah. What was I saying? So we need to be one. Are you listening to me? Tell your neighbor, say oneness. Oneness is important. The oil cannot flow if we are not one. It can't flow if we are not one. What does one mean, being one mean? You know? Even if we are together and united in doing wrong, we will succeed in doing wrong. I understand. That's the power of being united. Those guys in Genesis chapter 11, they decided to build a building without God for their own name, for their own glory. It was wrong, but it was working. That even God noticed. And he said, if we allow people to do such things without us, it's going to be a problem. They were trying to go to heaven using their own ways. They can say that if you drink, let me not go there. So they can say all sorts of things and agree that if we do this thing, we'll go to heaven. Even though it's wrong. Amen. There's only one way to heaven, and that is Christ. Amen. But how many people have believed their own things and said, this is our way to heaven? So when God saw it, he said, let me come down and destroy this thing, because there's only one way to come to me, and that is through my son. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. So even in doing wrong, if you are united, it will work. Amen. That's the power of it. Now imagine if you are doing it, you know, doing what God wants you to do. And we are united. Verse 3 says that there lieth the blessing, or there God commands the blessing. If we are not united, the blessing of God will not be in the house. Are you listening to me? Many homes. It's like Russia and Ukraine. Many homes. It's World War III. It's already begun. It has begun in your home. The blessing of the Lord cannot be in such a home. There has to be harmony. There has to be unity. Hallelujah. So anything that we are doing in this house, please be part of us. And do it with all your heart. Amen. Tell your neighbor, with all your heart. So this is one of the things that you have to do. Be in a Bible study group, please. Lucy, are you listening to me? At the back, are you listening to me? Be in a Bible study group. Mahlatsi, the way you are looking at me, you look guilty. Hallelujah. Be in a Bible study group. It's important. Now this week it was raining. Rain will not kill you, okay? There's something called umbrella. Just take your umbrella and go to the Bible study group. That's all. I said, that's all. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. You will not die at all. Just go there, receive the word of God, be blessed, share what has been in your heart, pray. pray together with your brothers and sisters and be blessed. In our country, we have something called load shedding. So when you see load shedding, don't say, "Ay, kitlababona next week." There's something called candles. Okay? Just get some candles and let's have a Bible study group. That's all. Amen. The amens keep going down the more I say powerful things. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, "That's all. That's all." Hallelujah. So I don't want rain to stop what we are doing. The only time rain can disturb us is if our Bible study group, we meet outside and we are not meeting indoors. Perhaps there it can stop us. But any other condition, it shouldn't stop us at all. Are you listening to me, somebody? Say, "My wonderful neighbor, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, Bible study group." Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. All right, powerful. Next week we had planned to have water baptisms, but those will be postponed until further notice. Hallelujah. Where we baptize in municipal swimming pools, and now they no longer allow churches to baptize there anymore. Do you understand? So we need to look for plan B. We're still looking where we can baptize people. As soon as we get a place, we will let you know. If you can help the church in this regard, please let us know. Come and see me after the service. Amen. Moderators, please don't go home. I need to see you after the service. And then on Saturdays here at 3 o'clock, we have prayer. So we are changing it. Hallelujah. Now we are praying after the service. Amen. Now, I know that one is very difficult because, I mean, some of you even looking at your faces, you're already tired. But we are praying. And so what we are going to do on Saturdays, we are going to have outreach. We are going to go out and invite people to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Powerful. Now let's go into the Word of God. Today I'll be preaching my last message on the principles of tithing. Amen, amen. And I hope that you have been blessed so far. Glory be to God. Now, when I preach such messages, I need you to encourage me, because like I've been saying, every time you start talking about tithing, offering, or what have you, a lot of people switch off because they think that, they want money now. You know, do you know why I actually am preaching about this thing? Our church is about four, five years old now. I've never preached about tithes all this time. Never. And when the Lord started speaking to me about this year being our year of breaking through, this was one of the keys that I knew I had to give you so that you can break through. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you are prayerful and you don't have food to eat, not that you are fasting, but there's literally nothing. If you know the scriptures, you can quote from Genesis to Revelation. You can quote every verse, all 37,000 of them, but you don't have anything to eat, you'll be discouraged. So Jesus said, we must pray and ask for the things that we need so that our joy can be full. Amen. Now, the problem is that God has his own way of operating. Amen. God is God and we are his people, not the other way around. We are not God and he is not our people. Amen. Are you understanding? Amen. And his way is sowing and reaping. Amen. His way is tithing. Amen. His way is offerings. Amen. And this is the way that God has decided and chosen to bless us. It's not that the church is after your money. It's not that the church, I remember one day somebody came to our church, and during praise and worship, you know, I was sitting in my car getting ready to preach, and the guy came to me and he gave me 20 rand. And he said, he came to me and he said that, "Pastor, I've offered 20 rand. I have to go to Men Lane." Hey man. Don't worry, Pastor, I've offered 20 rand in the offering basket. I have to go to Man Lane. In my head, I said, brother, we don't want your 20 rand. We want you. Tell him, I said, we want you. Yeah. And why do you want you? So that you can have a relationship with Christ. So it's not necessarily your money that we are after. Please, please. Don't be confused. It is God's way to try and elevate you and lift you to your next level. Hallelujah. Read your Bible, you will see that this is what is in the Word of God. And over the last couple of weeks, I believe I have proved it's in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Today, for a very short time, I want to teach on what I've entitled the first fruits. Someone say the first fruits. My preaching should be very short today. Come with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy. We give you all the glory. You are worthy, you are worthy to be praised. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. Are we there? The Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. Holy Spirit, help us. I read it one more time. Honor the Lord with all thy substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Hallelujah. Now when we read this scripture, verse 10 is what we'll all be excited about. So shall thy barns be filled. These barns here are talking about, in modern times, your bank accounts. Do you understand? And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So all this, if you look at it in today's time, it is your bank accounts. They must be full. Do you understand? They must be bursting. In other words, they must be ready to overflow. Hallelujah. Some of us, our bank accounts are far from being full. And they are far from overflowing. Hallelujah. It's not bad to start in a certain place. What is bad is to end at a certain place. Do you understand? Nothing's wrong if your bank account is not the way you want it to be right now. But you have to now start doing things that is going to change your situation over time. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me, somebody? Your status will change. You will not remain in this level forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when I read the Bible, I am convinced that God will fulfill everything He says. And of late, I am convinced that He will fulfill what he said in his word, in our church specifically, amen, and in your life specifically, amen, some of you are going to start to walk into your destiny. Amen. You'll be surprised the grace and the favor that is coming your way. Amen. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. I said it's coming your way. Amen. I said it's coming your way. Amen. So don't worry if you don't have what you wish you could have now. Amen. What you have to worry about is, what do I need to do to get me there? Amen. The other day, I was praying, and the Lord said to me, don't pray about a house. Because I was, Lord, bless us with a house. And he said, don't pray about a house. I said, hey man, but I need a house. And he said to me, pray about what you need to do so that you can have one. There are things that when you do, certain things just start flowing themselves. When I was still in the working world, my highest qualification is a BTEC. And some of my colleagues, younger than me, their first job, they were entering with masters, honors. And what I was noticing is that they are younger than me. I have more experience than them. But as they enter into the same salary bracket. You see, in life, crying will not help you. Your tears will not change any situation. I promise you, they will not change anything. You can cry. And some of us have been crying. Some of us have been crying. And if you have noticed, no change. So God said to me, don't stop praying about a house. Pray about what you need to do so that the house will come automatically. And here the Apostle Paul, not Paul, Solomon, is giving us some wisdom. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Substance here is material blessings, wealth, or whatever it is. Honor him with your material things. And in today's time, it's money. Keep saying amen. I'm still preaching. Amen. Solomon says, honor the Lord with thy substance. So you can't get to verse 10 until you fulfill verse 9. Honor him with thy substance. So this is not just giving, it's honor. Honor. Honor him. Honor him with thy substance. And then it continues to talk about the first fruits of your land. Then it says, then your barns, and so on and so forth. Now there's two things here. The first part, I think we've discussed it. Tithes and offerings. That's honoring him with your substance. Now the other thing that Solomon now introduces here, he says, with your first fruits. Now, what are first fruits? Come with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 26. Let's read from verse 1. There's a lot of reading there. Deuteronomy chapter 26, reading from verse 1. Mukhari, I see some kids getting out the gate. I don't know where they are going. And please make sure if there's people outside, they must be in church, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 26, we're reading from verse 1. The Bible says, and it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God had given thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. Verse 4. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. Verse 8. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. May the Lord bring you out of your problems with an outstretched arm, with terribleness, with signs, and with wonders, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Verse 9. And he had brought us into this place, and had given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, has given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. Verse 11. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God had given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Amen. Amen. Now, for a very short time, if I can explain what first fruits are. Now, I explain what tithes are. Tithes are a tenth, 10% of income that God blesses you with. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, everything you have has been given to you. Amen. I listen to what I'm saying. Amen. Everything you have has been given to you by God. Amen. Everything. Amen. That's why Job said, I came here naked and I will go naked. Everything that we have been able to accomplish, everything that we have been able to do, everything that we have been able to have, it is as a result of the blessing and the grace and the favor of God upon our lives. Are you listening to me? Never be proud and say, you know, Tinabaga, what's your surname? Huh? Sorry? Say something that I can hear. Mamban. Tinabaga mbanjwa. Yes, shagan peel. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's not out of your smartness or whatever. It is the grace of God. It is the mercies of God. Are you listening to me? So a tenth of anything and everything that God has given you, a tenth of it belongs to God. Give it to him. It's his. It's not yours. Even when you make your budget, let's say you earn 100 rand, Don't make a budget on 100 rand. Make it on 90 rand. Right? Why are you budgeting on something that's not yours? How come? Wherefore? Where do you get the boldness? Ask your neighbor, where do you get the boldness to budget on what is not yours? Hallelujah. It belongs to God. Now, that is the tithe. Offering is your choice. You give anything you wish and feel like giving. If you read the Old Testament, especially the book of Leviticus, the Bible describes different types of offerings that are there. You can give an offering to thank God. You can give an offering just to bless Him, to honor Him. You can give an offering to worship Him. It's your heart that must inspire you to bless your God. The amounts are dependent on you. Sometimes you can give an offering like we are building here. You can be inspired that I want to support the work of God. And you can give as your heart inspires you. Are you listening to me, somebody? But now, first fruit is a little bit of a different animal. First fruit, what Moses was writing about here, because God, when he visited Moses, he told him that I want you to go into Egypt, because remember, he had run away. So he said, I want you to go back, and I'm going to use you to take the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. So Moses was now saying to them that when you get to that land which God has promised you, when you have planted in the land, when you have sowed in the land, the first fruits, you must give them to God. In other words, let's say you have a farm and you are growing what? Tomatoes, for example. And the first tomatoes that shoot out, I don't know the farm language, the first tomatoes that come out, do you understand? The Bible says that a portion of that, the first ones that come out, you must give them to the Lord. So that is first fruits. Are you listening to me, somebody? Now, practically in our time, the way that you can look at this, say for example, when you get your first job, you get a job, it's your first one, that first salary, you must give God first fruits. The first salary. You know, when I was reading about this, I was very surprised. When I got my first job, even before I got it, I remember I was at church and my pastor was preaching. And as he was preaching, I realized in my heart that for me to have certain things in life, I need the Lord. And so as I was sitting there, I made a promise to him. And I said, Lord, my first salary, I'm going to give it to you. And I said to him, I'm going to give it to you because I realize I need you. I need you to be able to have a house. I need you to be able to have a car. I need you to be able to marry. I need you to be able to do many things. And when I said this, I didn't even know anything about the first fruit. Are you listening to me? So when I got my first job, when I got my first salary, I took it and just removed the transport money because you need to get to work, you see. And the rest of it, I gave it to the Lord. The rest of it. So that is the first fruit. The first fruit is a portion of the first harvest that you get. Another way you can look at a first fruit, say now you already have a job. Are you listening to me? And in your job, you get a promotion. The first portion of that promotion, say you are earning, let's say, 10,000 rand. And then you get a promotion. In your promotion, you're going to get an extra 3,000 rand over your 10,000 rand. So that 3,000 rand, you must take a portion of it and give it to God as your first fruits. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So that is first fruits. And Paul, I keep saying Paul, and Solomon explains to us that the combination of tithes, offerings, and the first fruits will cause an explosion in your financial life. If you don't do certain things, nothing will change in your life. I know that my message that I'm preaching is not a shouting message, but it is the word of God. Are you listening to me, somebody? So anything that comes as some income to you, the first one, a portion of it, you must give it to God as the first fruits. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now there's two types of first fruits. There is first fruits that I call them a once-off offering to God. Someone say once off. Turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 36. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 36. In fact, let's start from verse 34. Nehemiah 10 and 34. Are we there? Nehemiah. It's in the Old Testament. Chapter 10, verse 34. Amen. If you are there, say amen. Amen. If you are not there, say wait for me. All right. Get there quickly. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 34. All right. The Bible says, and we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God, after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits, verse 35, and to bring the first fruits of our ground, and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year, unto the house of the Lord. Verse 36. Also, the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, and to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God. Amen. So here you see the first fruits was not just vegetables and fruits, but the first fruits. You know, if you read from Exodus, you'll see that God had even said that your firstborn son belongs to him. If you have sheep, the firstborn one belongs to him. And so on and so forth. Now, there's only one firstborn. You can't have more than one firstborn. When you have another one, it's a secondborn. And another one is a thirdborn. And so on and so forth. True or not true? So this type of first fruit is a once off. So there is a first fruit that is a once off. Then there is another one that is a repeated one. Now if you read verse 34 and verse 35, you will see that God says that you must bring your first fruits year by year. Someone say year by year. So annually God expects a first fruit. I actually didn't know about this one until I started reading and teaching about this subject. Amen. That after a cycle, God expects you to give him first fruits. Now, what do I mean after a cycle? Say you earn 10,000 rand a month. There's two ways to look at your salary. You can look at it as 10,000 rand a month, or you can look at it as 120,000 rand a year. Are you listening to me? So a cycle would be a time that it takes to pay you out that annual salary. Then they pay the 120,000, they are finished. Then the next year, they are starting a new cycle. Now, there are first fruits that God expects every cycle, financial cycle of your life. Am I preaching or am I not preaching? Am I saying something or not saying something? It's the word of God. There are people who do these things and are blessed. There's a certain man of God. He came to South Africa from Ghana. When he came, he had back home studied to be a pharmacist. And when he came here, he was struggling. He knew nothing. He knew nobody. He was qualified. He had the papers. And then to survive, he was selling eggs, boiled eggs, just to survive. And then he started going on and he came to church and he started serving in the house of God. And I heard that he made a commitment to God. And he said, Lord, from today, I will never give you coins. Never give you coins. So every time he offers, it must be paper money. I tell you today, some years ago, I used to go to this man of God's house. To go to his house is a mountain. It's a mountain. His garage is not like a garage where a car fits. It's like cars. One time he went to our pastor back then, and he gave him a house, and he said, "This house, pastor, you can see what you use it for." And the church back then used to use that house for prayer. Every time we go for prayers, we would go to that house. When our bishop wanted to teach us certain things, he would take us from that house. A person who used to sell eggs. And he just made a promise to God. He knew the power of giving to God. Now sometimes when we preach about tithes, I mean, even when I'm preaching as a pastor, I feel like, finish. But there are some people who grab it and begin to operate. And over time, I promise you, God is not a man that he should lie. It will produce fruits. Are you listening to me, somebody? So I know that, even as I'm preaching about first fruits, pastor, every year I must give... My first salary, my promotion, pastor, you want too much. I mean, I'm just reading you the Bible. Amen. Are you listening to me, somebody? Amen. So, let's start applying these truths. Amen. And when Satan visited Jesus to tempt him after his 40-day and 40-night fast, there was a time that Satan took Jesus into a high place and he said, jump. Amen. And Jesus responded and said that you will not tempt the Lord your God. Amen. So according to scripture, we mustn't tempt God. We mustn't test him. Amen. But when it comes to finances, he said, prove me now herewith. Amen. This is the one place that you can test me. Amen. And the things that I've been preaching for the last couple of weeks, I want to encourage you to test him. Amen. Test him. Amen. Just give yourself one cycle. Give him 1 year. It's, 1 year is a biblical cycle. One time, Jesus spoke a parable where he said that there was a man who went to his farm and he wanted to get some fruit from one of the trees. When he got there, one particular tree was not producing fruit. And then he told the servant, cut this thing off. It's wasting space. And then the servant said, wait. Let me just put some manure, some compost around the tree. And let's give it 1 year. If after a year it doesn't produce fruit, then we can cut it off. So I'm saying, give God a year. Test him. And see whether after a year of doing these things and applying these things, it's not easy. It's not easy. I don't want to lie to you. I would be a liar if I said it's easy. when you see a tenth of your income and you have to do things. Children need to go to school. Children need to dress. You need to buy groceries. You need to buy clothes. You need to, I know, but just test him. Amen. And see whether he's a liar or not. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, as I'm about to close, you know, I want to practicalize this issue of tithing, offerings, and first fruits. Because when we read the Bible, it says, bring your fruits. It says, bring your cattle. And you say, and none of us, probably none of us here have cattle, isn't it? None of us here have sheep, unless maybe you have some at home. I don't know. But in today's times, very few people are making income in that way, true or not true. So bringing it home and bringing it into practicality today. Tithing is 10% of your salary. Someone says salary. If you are earning a salary, 10% comes to God. Tithing is 10% of pension. Ooh, Pastor. Even for old people, you want it. Hey. I'm practicalizing the word of God. Someone say pension. Yeah. A tenth of it belongs to God. Because it's an income he's giving you. It belongs to God. You see, now I'm bringing it home. It was okay when I was talking about sheep and the... A tithe is 10% of grants. Isn't that an income? What is it? Huh? It's not an income. It's not used for food. It's not used for your life. A tithe is 10% of tax refunds. So sometimes as you are working, you are getting salary and so on and so forth. Every now and then, sometimes SARS will give you something called a tax refund. A tenth of that belongs to God. Do you understand? A tithe is 10% of life insurances or investments. So when these insurances pay out, 10% belong to God. If you made investments, when these investments pay out, when you start earning returns on investments, a tenth of it belongs to God. Amen. Oh, Jesus, help me to preach. Na toraba shaka. Give me strength. Kalonderianda bakolos. A tithe is 10% of bonuses. When you get bonuses wherever you work, a tenth of it belongs to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I hope I've knocked at your door by now. Amen. One of these should be yours at least. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then, scripturally, businesses can also tithe. Amen. If you have a business, it can tithe. Amen. Come with me to Genesis chapter 14 from verse 18. You know, if you are coming to our church for the first time and you hear me preaching like this, you can easily never come back. So please listen to all my messages, not this one alone. Yes. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 14 from verse 18. Are we there? And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And the Bible says, and he gave him a tithe of all. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe of all. Amen. Now let's jump to Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 7, reading from verse 1. I really hope you are writing these things down, so that you don't say, Pastor said. You must say, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 1. Quickly, I'm running out of time. Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 1. The Bible says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem. Salem here is Jerusalem. So this guy Melchizedek was king of Jerusalem before Jerusalem became Jerusalem, which is king of peace. Verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, with having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Verse 4 is what we're looking for. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. Someone say the spoils. Now the spoils is very important there. The spoils here talks about the prophets. So if you're a businessman or a businesswoman, because also some people, I remember there was a gentleman who entered into a business with my former boss. Our company was a quantity surveying company, so this guy was a project manager, and him and my boss were about to start a project management business. And I remember that guy, we were speaking to him, and he said he doesn't like salary. He doesn't like earning a salary. So he uses the business account as his personal account. Do you understand? People do different things, okay? I mean, what we don't know kills us, okay? Please study. You know, if you didn't go to school, it doesn't mean that you don't have to study. One man of God said, he said that education gives you a salary, but self-education gives you a fortune. Self-education is more important than the education you get at school. A lot of these billionaires, they were at school and they said, these people are wasting my time. And they left school and started all, especially the IT people. You know, when you're in IT, you can become a millionaire tomorrow. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils or of the profits. So, if you're a business person, you can give God a tenth of your business profits. So, you work out, what are my expenditures? What are my expenses? And you work it out and say, these are my profits, and you can pay a tithe from that. I'm teaching you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may not be a business person today, but tomorrow you can be a multi-millionaire. I don't know. Amen. But I'm already teaching you the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So when it comes to first fruits, you can pay first fruits of your first salary. You can pay first fruits of the first income of an increase or a promotion. Are you understanding what I'm saying? and you can pay first fruits of any other additional income that you can have. There are some people who, they go to work, they have a salary, but on the side, perhaps maybe they have an apartment or they have a property and they are renting it out. So that is an income. So the first amount from that income, you can pay first fruits. Are you listening to me, somebody? And you can pay first fruits from your business. The first income that your business gets, you can pay first fruits. When you get a new client and you're starting to get a steady income from a new client, you can pay first fruits. Hallelujah. All this is important so that what we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10 can come to pass. So that your barns can be full. I'm telling you, I told you when I started this message that one guy went for an interview. And as he was sitting there and being interviewed, his notes fell. And the guy who was interviewing him saw something written there. And he said, "What is tea there? What is tea there?" And the guy said, "No, it's not tea there, it's tithes." And he began to explain to him what tithes are. Then the guy interviewing him said, no, I'm not a religious person. I don't believe in such thing. Then the guy who was being interviewed said, "I also am not a religious person, but I know this thing works." You see, even unbelievers, they do it. So that boss afterwards, he made a decision that anyone who works for this company pays tithes. An unbeliever. So if you want to work for this company, you must show proof that you pay tithes. You see, even unbelievers are enjoying the food that belongs to the children of God. And the children of God are eating crumbs because they are fighting the word of God. Hallelujah. Then the other thing that I have to answer before I close, a question that maybe somebody might have. When you start earning an income, there's what we call gross salary and net salary. Now, which one do you pay your tithes from? Do I pay from my gross or do I pay from my net? Hallelujah. Amen. The answer is, it's up to you. But you must consider the following. If you pay from your net salary, it means that there's a portion of your salary that you are not paying your tithes on. And normally, that is medical aid. Normally, that is, you are paying pension or provident fund or whatever it is that your company calls it. And tax. Are you understanding? Now, let's first talk about tax. Now, you may say that, "Pastor, but tax money, it doesn't come to me, But the truth of the matter is that it does. Your tax money is what builds the roads that we drive on. Your tax money is what builds the infrastructure that brings electricity to your house, that brings water to your house. Do you understand? If maybe let's say you're not on medical aid, your tax money is paying for when you get sick and you're going to the public hospital. All the medication, where do you think that money comes from? It's your tax money. Are you listening to me? So you are benefiting from it. Medical aid, you are benefiting from it. Provident fund, pension, you will benefit from it. So a tenth of it belongs to God. So if you pay from your net salary, then it means that when these things start paying out, a tenth, you must give it to God. If you are paying from your gross salary, the day that your pension fund pays out, you don't have to give God anything because you've already been paying him every month anyway from your pensions. Because pensions are not free. You are paying every month. So that when you are getting old and you resign, they give you a lump sum. Are you listening to me, somebody?
Amen.
Yeah. And so I personally prefer that When I was working, I was paying from my gross. Because the danger from paying from your net is that what if you die before you retire? Will your children and family members say, oh no, I know this one is for the church. Let's give 10% to the church. Hey! So it's better to just give it to God and know that you and God are squared up all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the last one that I want to answer as I close. Pastor, can I pay my tithes and offering anywhere? You see, a member of Healing Fire Ministries, can you pay your tithe to Start Delight Church of the Heavens and Earth? The answer is in Genesis chapter 14. Let's go back there. Verse 18. This pastor of yours teaches everything that he knows. He gives it to you. Genesis 14 and verse 18. Are you there? And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He brought forth bread and wine. This is talking about the word of God. So the ministry that is feeding you continually, the ministry that is blessing you continually, that is where you have to pay your tithes and offerings and first fruits. You can't just be sitting at home and say, wow, TD Jakes blessed me today. And you take your tithe and give it to TD Jakes. The day there's a death in your family, TD Jakes will not come. The day you are sick, where is TD Jakes? Your poor pastor here in Almapias, he will come to you and visit you when you are sick. When there's a death, he will come. But when it's time to give, you see TD Jakes. You don't see your pastor here who doesn't know anything. Some people are wicked. Wicked, wicked, wicked. Are you listening to me, somebody? So the ministry that takes care of you daily, weekly, monthly, annually is with you through thick and thin and is feeding you the word of God, giving you a stable meal, giving you a balanced meal all the time. That is where you must give to. Not just someone that you, oh wow, what a message, what a blessing. This month I'm giving my tithe there. Your mouth like giving your tithe there. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. If we ever become a ministry that becomes big and we are on TV, remind me to tell the people that if you are watching this thing on Sunday, switch off the TV and go to church. Remind me to say that, please.
Amen.
Remind me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Touch your screen. Touch your screen. You better go to church and hear the word of God and be blessed there instead of touching screens. And perhaps if maybe for some reason you have traveled or whatever and can't be at church, then you can touch the screen. But generally be at church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the living God and give him praise. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've equipped you. Do you understand? I love one man of God. He said that if you look at a class at school, there's one teacher, and the teacher is teaching everybody the same thing. But some people will get distinctions. Some people will just barely. And some people will fail proper. But it's the same teacher. It's the same teaching. No special treatment to anybody. I've given you the word of God. Go and apply. Go and prove it. And see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. So not just today's message, all of them. The law of process, the attitude of a giver, the beginnings of the tithe, the origins. Are you listening to me? The rewards of iniquity. Right? You can't pay tithes from evil money, corrupt money. Do you understand? Look at everything all together. Put it together and learn. Teach yourself and understand and see how God wants to bless you. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.